When we talk about pressure and blame, the success or failure of Jordan Love often gets put at the feet of Brian Gutekunst. But what about Matt LaFleur, who was brought in to be a quarterback whisperer, not just for Aaron Rodgers, but for whoever would come next? Then he was part of the brain trust that decided to go all in on Jordan Love, a move that ultimately spelled the end of the relationship with their future Hall of Fame quarterback. A lot is riding on this season for Matt LaFleur. Plus, Rashawn Gary has been hiding in plain sight as the key to this Packers defense, both this year and beyond. All of that on today's show.
Caught by Watson.
You are Locked On Packers.
He's got great speed.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Christian Watson down the sideline.
Locked On Podcast Network.
And he will score.
Your team every day.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you'll find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Today's episode brought to you by our old friends at Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonNFL and enter the promo code LockedOnNFL for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/lockedonNFL. When we talk about Jordan Love and the blame, usually, for if things go poorly, or the credit when things go well, but this is related to the pressure, this idea of pressure. Who is under pressure for Jordan Love to succeed? Of course, Jordan Love is at the top of that list. His NFL career is riding on it. If Matt LaFleur and the Packers don't have a good season or two, he might get fired and then could get a future opportunity. He's still young enough. He still has the connections. Certainly a preferred play calling OC somewhere in the very near future if this didn't work out in the next couple of years because of Jordan Love or whatever reason. There are still, you know, Schottenheimers kicking around the NFL when that hasn't been a preferred style of offense for at least good coaches in a really long time. So why is it always Brian Gutekunst? And we know the reasons. He made the selection. Ultimately, Gutekunst was the name on the chopping block for Aaron Rodgers, the name that we found out, though we knew, but we got again confirmed that Aaron Rodgers wanted out of the building in order to ensure his return. Ultimately, the Packers said, nah. And Rodgers said, okay, I'll come back and play. Oh, bother. And now he's somewhere else. But Matt LaFleur fist pumped on national TV when this happened. And Aaron Rodgers, I thought it was interesting in that Matt Schneidman athletic piece, one of the first quotes, now I don't know if it was in one of the first quotes in the conversation, but one of the first quotes in the piece is about how Aaron Rodgers said friends, people around him mentioned Matt LaFleur seeming pretty excited about Jordan Love, and Rodgers kind of insulating him against those criticisms, but also he mentioned it. And he mentioned it for a reason. Clearly, he's thought about it. This has gone through his head. Did Matt LaFleur, a guy that I had a pretty good relationship with, did he want to replace me? Remember, this started in the fall. Matt LaFleur and the Packers did more work on Jordan Love than anyone, including phone calls in the fall of 2019 to Jordan Love's old coaches. And so Matt LaFleur is as big a part of this as anyone, maybe even more, because go back to 2018. The Packers fire Mike McCarthy and they bring in a new coach. And Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst made it pretty clear that whoever they were going to hire, and ultimately one of the big reasons why they hired Matt LaFleur, was not just to come in and triage the Aaron Rodgers of it all. It was to set them up long term. The Packers fancy themselves like a team like the Steelers or the Giants who don't just blow through coaches. And by and large, that's been true. Mike Holmgren, Mike McCarthy, and Matt LaFleur have really been, and Mike Sherman really was there for a long time. They have been the coaches. You have that little bit of Ray Rhodes there in the interim, but really those have been the coaches for the last 30 years in Green Bay. They hired Matt LaFleur with the idea that he was going to be able to not only reinvigorate Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, he did with flying colors, and I have been on this show banging the drum for Matt LaFleur that he has done more to reinvigorate Aaron Rodgers than the Jordan Love pick, and then Rodgers just deciding he wants to play better. Like, Rodgers likes to frame it that way, like, oh, Jordan Love, that pick pissed me off, and so as a result, I started playing better. We know that's not true because we watch the games. We see it. We see the stylistic differences, the schematic differences, the ways in which Matt LaFleur has tugged on Aaron Rodgers, and the way that now you see in New York, Rodgers doesn't want to play in a lot of those ways, but they were ways that he was successful in Green Bay and hadn't been in his old way, the way that he wants to apparently go back to in New York when he was with Mike McCarthy. Less motion, a lot more shotgun, less play action, all that stuff. That means Matt LaFleur has the next piece of this that he still has to deliver. And that is the young QB part of it. And when you look at his CV, when you look at his experience, you go, okay, I get it. In Washington, for Robert Griffin III, when they put together a really terrific plan. Now, Kyle Shanahan's there, Mike Shanahan's there, Sean McVay's there. How much of that is Matt LaFleur? In 2016, they go to the Super Bowl. Atlanta, Matt Ryan wins the MVP. Matt LaFleur is the quarterback's coach when Matt Ryan wins the MVP. Okay, but Kyle Shanahan was the coach. Then he goes to LA to reinvigorate the Rams. Okay, but Sean McVay was the head coach. He goes to Tennessee. They have a totally fine offense with Marcus Mariota, who doesn't have working nerves in his arm that season. And by the end of the year, it was just like, let's build the whole plane out of Derrick Henry. That was really the year that everyone realized that became a viable plan. And by the end of the year, it sort of was like, why was this not always the plan? But, you know, they brought in Deion Lewis. Like, there were a lot of things they tried to do. Then he comes to Green Bay, and all he does is win football games. But he had Aaron Rodgers. Now, again, I have been on this show and on Twitter and at The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to, absolutely pounding the table that Matt LaFleur has been as integral as anyone in the reinvigoration of this team culturally to a man. They talked about the difference, Matt LaFleur coming in and changing the culture of an established team with established veterans, future Hall of Fame players like Aaron Rodgers and David Bakhtiari on the team. You bring in strong personalities, guys like Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith and Billy Turner, into a locker room of some big personalities. And he managed it all. All they did was win a bunch of games until Aaron Rodgers decided, I'm not really that interested in being committed to the team anymore. But now there's no crutch. There's no excuse. Actually, it's Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. Actually, it's Sean McVay in LA. Actually, it's Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. There's no reason for anyone to be able to say, if the Packers have success this year, if they go out and win 10 games, unless the defense is just absolutely unbelievable, which, look, it might be. They have the talent to be absolutely unbelievable. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But this is his opportunity. This is what he was hired to do. There were two parts of what he was hired to do: reinvigorate Aaron Rodgers and then guide this team into the next part with a young quarterback. I think very clearly that was part of the design from the beginning. Matt Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, they brought in Matt LaFleur with the express written idea. And maybe it wasn't explicitly stated, but this was part of the notion that in the first year or two, they're going to draft with a high pick their guy, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone. Aaron Rodgers happened to play at an MVP level, so he was able to stay around, I think, a year longer than they would have liked. I think if they had their druthers after 2020, or after 2022, he would have been out. Excuse me, after 2021, he would have been out. What year is it? What day is it? Who's on first? He would have played two seasons after the Jordan Love pick, and it would have been over. And there are people that were suggesting that it should be. The last thing I want to point out here. After the Packers and Matt LaFleur drafted Jordan Love, Kyle Shanahan traded for Trey Lance. Sean McVay traded for Matthew Stafford. Kevin Stefanski traded for Deshaun Watson. These Shanahan tree coaches who are considered to be really smart coaches and who won a bunch of games and who put really good offenses together with thoroughly mediocre quarterbacks decided we need more playmaking, we need more arm talent, we need more ability overall. Matt LaFleur seemed to recognize it right away. And this was the guy that he picked. It worked for Matthew Stafford in LA. It doesn't look like it's working right now in San Francisco, but they just happened to luck into Brock Purdy, who looks like he's the best version of any quarterback that, Kyle Shanahan has had in San Francisco to date. We'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson, and that is fraught for a slew of different reasons. And we'll see what, happens in Minnesota. There was and remains heat that the Vikings will move on from Kirk Cousins. This is the swing. This is the Matthew Stafford swing, the Trey Lance swing. The Packers already made it. That puts the burden on Matt LaFleur to make it work. All right, I want to talk about Rashawn Gary and have a really fun discussion about Rashawn Gary coming up in just a second. But before we do that, I cannot tell you how absolutely thrilled I am to have Bird Dogs back as a spot. I'm wearing Bird Dogs right now. I'm wearing them right now. Can you see them on YouTube? If you're watching on YouTube, you can. I'm wearing them. I love them. I absolutely love them. And guess what? These aren't even the ones I wore today. I wore different ones today. These are the joggers. I wore the Bird Dogs khakis, the stretch khakis today because I thought I was going to go play golf. It ended up raining. I couldn't go play golf. And I absolutely love them. I have like borderline made them a core personality trait. I now own, I think, three pairs of the joggers, plus the khakis, plus a pair of shorts, and I'm getting more. And I see the new designs. They are killing it. They do a lot of the same things that other athleisure brands do in terms of trying to give you a more structured fit than just like baggy sweatpants, which is great. They wear like real pants. I get compliments on them all the time. My wife absolutely loves them. The first time I bought the first pair, she was like, "What are those? And can you get more of them?" I'm not exaggerating. That is what happened. And guess what? That's why I did, in fact, get more of them. And if you would like to get more of them, you can go to birddogs.com/lockedonNFL and enter promo code LockedOnNFL for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. Come on, we all need more cups. Things to put coffee in. Things to put iced coffee in. That's birddogs.com/lockedonNFL for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You will not want to take these things off. I have, in fact, slept in them. I nap in them constantly. They are the most comfortable pants that I own, bar none. The shorts are terrific, especially now that it's getting warm. The liner, the built-in liner, whether you're going to work out or you're just going to run to the store, they're great. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonNFL. And get that free tumbler along with this great order. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers your first listen every day. Every dayers, more this week as we get through OTAs. We're going to check in on what's going on in OTAs. The Romeo Doubs breakout season continues. I actually want to dedicate an episode to Romeo Doubs and his ascension. And we did a rookie orientation series. We're going to keep doing our rookie orientation series. I have to get back in the saddle on getting some of those interviews scheduled. But maybe we need to do like a sophomore orientation series just because he's getting so much buzz right now. All of that is coming up on Locked On Packers. So I want to talk about Rashawn Gary. And the reason I want to talk about Rashawn Gary is I was actually looking up statistics related to a piece that, or a blurb that Jason Hirschhorn put together in The Leap about Kingsley Enagbare. And the pressure rate that he put together, he actually had a better win rate, as a rookie than Rashawn Gary had. And this set me down a bit of a rabbit hole. Because when I went back and looked, I was shocked to find that Rashawn Gary is at a higher pass rush win rate, according to Pro Football Focus, than Brian Burns in every year of his career. And I don't want to make this just a pro Rashawn Gary and anti Brian Burns thing, because Brian Burns' brother might hear this and come after me on Twitter, because that's what he does. Shout out to Brian Burns' brother. Look, find someone who loves you enough to defend you on Twitter. That's all I'm saying. I respect it. It's not even a shot. Rashawn Gary has been a better pass rusher and certainly a better run defender than Brian Burns, basically from the jump, according to the numbers. The reason he doesn't have the same sort of respect is because Brian Burns was a more highly thought of player on draft Twitter. And he has the kind of high level one-off moves, the ghost move and some of the spin moves that will go viral. Like Rashawn Gary bull rushing on offensive tackle into the lap of the QB. Like it can make some nice impressions, nice social engagement. Like on Packers Twitter, that'll play. I've certainly posted them where he's just like running through someone's face. And it's pretty cool, I have to say. But you're not looking at it going, oh, like you've seen other people bull rush before. You don't see very many people pull off the ghost rush the way Brian Burns does. But he's not doing it 6 times, 8 times, 10 times a game to create pressures. But Rashawn Gary is kind of doing that with his just straight power rush. And in 2021, his pass rush win rate was twice as good as Brian Burns. Twice as good. It was better in 2021 than Nick Bosa's. In fact, in 2021, the only full season Rashawn Gary has been able to play as a starter. Last year he got hurt, started off extremely, extremely well. Was on his way to a potential all-pro season. I was early on that train. Everydayers will remember. We talked about it on the show. Rashawn Gary, we were talking about in August. He was set up. He was going to be the dominant force for this Packers defense. In 2021, his first full season as a starter, three edge defenders had a pass rush win rate over 25%. So 1 in 4 pass rush reps. That's really good. You're winning. That means you have the opportunity to create a pressure on what? 8 in 32 dropbacks? 8 plus pressures regularly. 3 players did it that year. Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, who had 16 sacks that year, and Rashawn Gary. He was an elite pass rusher. The fact that he didn't make the Pro Bowl was a joke. It was a joke. And what any defense that is going to be playoff caliber needs is one player who you absolutely have to account for every single possession and who can just single-handedly take over a game. Now, Jaire Alexander can do that. And we saw him do it against Minnesota. Yes, he got some help, but he single-handedly took out Justin Jefferson. You have to game plan for Jair Alexander. But if all you have is that great corner, you can account for that guy. You can throw in another direction. But if you have the great corner and you have the dominating pass rusher, the one guy that you have to send to, that the gravity that he creates frees up everyone else to get one-on-one matches. Rashawn Gary playing at the level he did, it's not a coincidence that for the first half of the season, Kenny Clark was also playing like a potential all-pro, a potential Pro Bowl caliber player, because teams couldn't just send two at Kenny Clark and leave their tackle on an island one-on-one with Rashawn Gary. And if they did, they needed to send chip help, or they needed to have a tight end over on that side. And then all of a sudden, you're messing with the matchups, you're messing with the numbers, you're shifting the math in your favor. Rashawn Gary has a chance to flip that math for the Packers consistently. And let me add, this is exactly why you make a pick like Lucas Van Ness. Because he has that ability to, the physical tools to be that same sort of absolutely dominant down-to-down kind of player. To be Rashawn Gary 2.0. And then if you have two of those guys, now you're not just in business, you are ready and raring to go. All right, we're going to finish up here in just a second. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Everydayers, thank you for always being here and supporting us through the offseason. It's June. Hopefully you're out taking a walk as you're doing this. Maybe you're on the golf course. I love to have my AirPods in as I'm hitting balls or chipping, whatever I'm doing. I have my AirPods in a lot, trying to get the baby to sleep, to have one pod in just to have a little something on in the background. So thanks for being here. It really does mean a lot. And go check out Locked On Sports Today. It would really also mean a lot to me. Locked On Sports Today is our all sports show. All the big stories in under 20 minutes. So go check that out. Last thing I want to mention is I saw a clip on Twitter and it sparked my memory of this. I think there's something there with Tyler Goodson. We saw in the preseason with the ball in his hands, he is electrifying. Now, fumbles are an issue. Hopefully, as he gets a little bit stronger, maybe a little bit bigger, he can fix some of those things. He's just different than the other kinds of players the Packers have at the position. He's got a little more wiggle and twitch than Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. He's certainly not the power back that AJ Dillon is, but I think he has more combustibility, more big play potential. And I like his hands. They've been getting the running backs working from the slot. I think we're going to see some of that, some, 12 and 21 personnel where you're empty. And you've got running backs and tight ends on linebackers and safeties, and you're trying to do fun stuff. I think Tyler Goodson can help this football team. Kylan Hill's gone. We know what Patrick Taylor is. He's a very nice, if you need to eat up some carries kind of player. I think Tyler Goodson can give you some of the stuff Tyler Irvin gave you a couple years ago. And I know that I'm almost a parody of myself with this Tyler Irvin stuff, because I talk about him like he was, Desmond Howard or something. But what he did with the jet motion in 2020, it changed the offense. They were so much better with jet motion that season and have been the entire Matt LaFleur era. Their yards per carry is like 3 yards difference when they use jet motion. That man versus zone tell is so useful, especially for a young quarterback like Jordan Love. If you have more than one guy that can do that, and I think you're going to see Jaden Reed do that. We've already seen it at OTAs, a ton of jet motion from him when he's in the game. But how about 21 with Goodson on the field and a running back like Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon? How are they going to play that? How are teams going to play that? And if he can be a pass catcher, can you then get in advantageous matchups with linebackers, with safeties, and all the things that allows you to do. It's just something that I wanted to flag, to keep an eye on, something that we're going to see in August and then probably never see again, just because that's how this stuff works. We're going to be back tomorrow. More to come this week on Locked On Packers. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live on YouTube, you can do that by subscribing to us over on our YouTube page so you can stay Locked On Packers.